Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, and speak to our hearts now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, my brothers and sisters. Two Sundays ago, based on the account of obedient Philip and seeking Ethiopian eunuch, Reverend Andrew reminded us that the advancement of the Great Commission would only be achieved by the bold proclamation of the gospel and living out the countercultural values of the kingdoms of God. Last Sunday, from the narrative of Ananias and Saul, Reverend Christopher Chan compelled us again to reach out boldly to the unlikely persons in our circle of influence. So in our reading today, Acts 10, verse 1 to 29, we encounter the two men, Cornelius and Peter, from different backgrounds. We see the revolutionary shift, a broadening in the understanding of the identity of God, the people of God. So the sermon title is A Paradigm Shift. In our world today, my brothers and sisters, boundaries are everywhere. It serves as a marker to distinguish outsiders from insiders. No trespassing signs boldly inform outsiders to stay away. A simple floating rope separates swimmers in the loop from those who are not. Even yellow lines in a coffee shop mark where smokers and non-smokers should sit. Mighty river divides nation from another. So whether visible or invisible, these boundaries separate and enforce our sense of identity. They help us to understand who we are by distinguishing ourselves from those who are not like us. So with these boundaries in mind, consider the encounter between Cornelius and Peter, which is a very pivotal moment in the early church. Clear boundaries separated the two men and their cultures. The mindset even extended to the extreme actions such as withholding help from Gentile women for Jews in childbirth, because that would bring another Gentile into the world. So the story of the conversion of the centurion Cornelius and with his whole household set a whole new level of expansion of God's people. Indeed, the statement that Jesus made, the reason Jesus made in Acts 1 verse 8 is fulfilling, that the gospel will be spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and now to the ends of the earth. So let us learn from this paradigm shift according to our Acts 10. In Acts 10, the story begins with a man named Cornelius in Caesarea, a centurion of the Italian cohort. He is described as a devout man who fears God with his whole household. Cornelius is characterized by his generosity in almsgiving and his unwavering commitment to continuous prayer. It is crucial to recognize Cornelius is a Gentile, which means a pagan, a member of a nation other than Israel, so-called the people of God. So he is also a commander of the Roman military and an occupying force and an oppressive force that rule over the Jewish people. Although Cornelius is attracted to the ethics of the God of Israel, he is yet decided to become a proselyte. Being labeled here as a God-fearing man doesn't necessarily indicate that he knows enough about the true living God to worship him. Therefore, the angel of the Lord appears him and urges him to heed the Peter's message, because it is a crucial for him to fully comprehend and embrace the God's command. The ultimate gift bestowed upon the Cornelius is the gift of God himself. So this passage provides a glimpse into the hearts of God, offering redemption to those who seek him. For us, there's a lot of Cornelius in our circle of influence. We may need to aware and pay more attention to people like Cornelius in our circle of influence. The second character is for us, my brothers and sisters, is Peter, the apostles, who is entrusted with the keys to kingdoms. He received a divine vision while praying on the rooftop at noon. The vision depicted a great sheet containing a variety of animals, including both clean and unclean. So Peter is told to kill and eat these animals, which is unimaginable for a Jew. Even though Peter recognized the voice as being divine, he refuses to obey the command from the one whom he calls Lord. We must remember that, my brother and sister, for Jews, the dietary law is not a matter of etiquette or habit, but rather it is a matter of survival and identity. So Peter's protest echoes Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, where the prophet insists that he never defile himself by eating ceremonially unclean food, because God has commanded in Leviticus 20 to 26. Moreover, Daniel is also a national hero precisely because he would not defile himself with the pagan king's rich food and wine. So the vision comes to Peter here is not only one time, not only two times, three times. It highlights the difficulty of changing the ingrained belief and long-held prejudices. It is a powerful reminder that even divine authority was not enough to overcome the prejudice and habit. For Peter, he experienced both the closeness and the betrayal of Jesus, and he knows Jesus welcomed all people, yet he struggled to grasp the depths of God's desire to break down all barriers and all walls. Through a series of visions for three times, God softened Peter's heart and expanded his mind to the vastness of God's love. As Christians, my brother and sister, we must acknowledge we too struggle to break down barriers of caste, class, and race. It is uncomfortable and it is inconvenient. However, it is our responsibility to help one another in grasping the true essence of Christian identity, which transcends human constructs and human distinctions. A true story can help us here to deepen our understanding. During the Second World War, a group of brave American soldiers fighting in the rural countryside of France. Tragically, one of their own lost his life in the heat of the battle. Instead of leaving his body on a battlefield, his comrade decided to give him a proper Christian burial at a nearby church cemetery. After receiving the permission, they made their way to the church. And just before the sunset, there they were met by an old frail priest, and they asked him, "Our friend was killed in the battles, and we wanted to give him a Christian church burial." So despite the church language barrier, the old priest understood their request, and he spoke in broken English, and he said, "I'm sorry, but we can bury only those of the same faith here." Weary after many months of war, the soldiers simply turned to walk away. Then the old priest called after them and said, "But you can bury him outside the fence. You can bury him outside the fence." Cynical and exhausted, the soldiers dug a grave and buried their friends just outside the fence. They finished their cover of the night, and the next morning, they were ordered to continue their journey. So the group raced back to find this grave site so that they can give a last farewell to their friend. But upon arrival, they cannot find a grave site, and they were tired and confused. So they knocked on the door of the church, and they asked the old priest if he knew where they had buried their friend, and they said, "It was dark last night, and we were exhausted. We must have been disoriented." So a smile flashed across the old priest's face, and he said, "After you left last night, I could not sleep. So I went outside early this morning and I move the fence. I move the fence. So like all priests, Peter himself make a move to accompany the people Cornelius sent. So the divine revelation prompt a significant shift in Peter's belief and behaviors toward non-Jewish individuals. Previously, he adhered to the notion that Gentiles were to keep at a distance unless necessary. However, this revelation encouraged Peter to embrace a new perspective, leading him to engage with individuals such as Cornelius more inclusively, even sharing meals with him and with his family. This transformative experience challenged the idea of division between Jews and Gentiles based on dietary restriction. The response Peter confessed to Cornelius, as you can see in the slide, he bring God into the focus and he said, God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. I should not call any person unclean. Indeed, through the Cornelius and Peter episode, God led the church to take a great step forward in understanding of God's way. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all about the way of life that creates the cultural identity shaped by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This identity in the book of Acts is shown repeatedly to collide with other cultural identities formed by the other gods. Yet it is transformed into a new creation. So to illustrate my point, here is the pictures taken our short-term mission trips to Mesout in 2023. Even though all of us come from different countries, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, we are one family in the kingdom of God, in His new creation. As you see in the pictures, we all worship together and we move towards one another as we gather around the Word of God and the Lord's table of His sacrificial love. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the word from the Lord for us today is the Holy Spirit transformed the paradigm of our stories into His story. I will repeat myself. The Holy Spirit transformed the paradigm of our story, your story and my story, into His story. Although Peter and Cornelius have the central roles in this narrative, it is not a story about them. Rather, it is a story about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit accomplished God's purpose despite the boundaries constructed by human. The Holy Spirit is working powerfully, transforming among the early Christians. Their perspective of who was in and who was out was being challenged and changed, not by their own doing, but by the intervention of the Holy Spirit. This indeed is an important text for our church today. Not only do the wounds of the exclusion run deep in our culture and our church, but the realities of unbound boundaries still exist. Neither society nor the church overcome racism, classism, ageism, nationalisms, and other prejudices. How we would like to overcome such barriers, my brothers and sisters? What can we do to fill that gap, my brothers and sisters? Just simply remember Jesus. Embrace grace and recognizing that we all are equal in the eyes of God. And N.T. Wright said, I quote, when Jesus himself wanted to explain to his disciple what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory. He gave them a meal. He gave them a meal. Jesus gave us a meal to share, a meal where all barriers, where whether visible or invisible, are broken down, where all walls are fallen down. For that, I can share the inspiring story about Jim Haines, the man who opened his home for the world for dinner every single Sunday night. He passed away 3 years ago at the age of 87 in Paris, where he lived for many years. He was known as a man who invited the world over for dinner. He opened his home for strangers every single Sunday night over 40 years. anyone was invited. All had to do was a call or send an email. Jim would add the name to the guest list. No questions asked. At these dinners, people from all walks of life gathered, breaking bread, sharing stories, and fostering connections. Jim Haines created a space where barriers were broken, friendships were formed, and memories were made. He truly embodied the spirit of hospitality and connections. Sometimes at Dinners Park, James would receive 120 guests, filling up his home and spilling out into the back garden. It is estimated that 150,000 people came to his dinner. 150,000 people came to his dinner over the years he hosted. Indeed, James never said no to anyone. What James did was exactly what Henry Nouwen said, I quote, "Hospitality means primarily the creation of the free space where the strangers can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a space where change can take place. It is not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom, not disturbed by dividing lines," end quote. Indeed, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we ask ourselves this series of questions as we are committedly following Jesus in our seasons of life. Are there any dividing lines, stereotypes among us? Who is being left out? Who are we labeling as outsiders, not deserving of hearing the good news? We often proclaim all are welcome in our church, but does the church conduct and its outreach efforts and its worship align with these words? Do we really welcome all people? For that, we need to answer for ourselves with the progress of the Welcome Center and the church as one family. So it comes to the end of my homily, my brothers and sisters. Let us reflect ourselves the way we treat one another, both within and outside the church community. Having heard the account of Peter and Cornelius, how will we navigate our relationship with people different from us? We must strive to build bridges and instead of walls, acknowledging that the humanity in every single individual, regardless of their backgrounds. By fostering unity instead of division, we can move towards a future where we all united in the body of Christ as a redeemed children of God. I end with this quote from Yves Conger. He said, I quote, "The revelation of Jesus is not contained in his teaching alone. It is also, perhaps, we ought to say, mainly in what he did. The coming of the Word into our flesh, God's acceptance of the status of servant, the washing of the disciples' feet, all this has the force of revelation and the revelation of God. If Jesus come and serve not to be served, what about us, my brothers and sisters? As Jesus' divinity embodies in humble service into our humanity, let us embody our service into Jesus' redeeming humanity, that is all people, all nation, all across, who are made in the image of God. Let us bow our head in prayer. Lord of all power and might, who art the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and your great mercy keep us in the same, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.